personal evolution does speak to the work, my native heritage. Being a Red Lake Ojibwe, also Seneca, having native heritage does definitely influence me when I'm working. Having been raised in the Twin Cities, I work with a lot of contemporary themes where I'm sort of mixing the two. And I like to say that my work is kind of like a scrapbook entry, or it's like a journal. As I move forward, I learn things. You know, I'm given teachings, and I hear stories and learn things about my culture that kind of help me to identify how I personally like to exist in the world and exist as an artist. And that definitely helps shape my lens as an artist as well, in the way that I like to express in my art.
That is Northern Minnesota artist Jonathan Thunder. He has said that his artwork comes from the same place that dreams come from. He's a painter, an animator, a muralist, and an experimental filmmaker. His work is bold, vibrant, and often steeped in symbolism. His cartoon animations do resemble dreams, while his murals and paintings are sort of snapshots of those dreams.
I would like people to look at my artwork and take away discussions about what they know or think they know about contemporary Native artwork. My artwork is been classified under a few things. Contemporary Native artwork is one of them, being that I think that my imagery is contemporary and I'm a Native artist. So I think that discussions about the content and discussions about, its validity in not only the art world, but the Native art world are some things. But mainly I just want them to explore it, because it's highly intuitive work. And a lot of times when I'm creating, it's just sort of like coming from somewhere in the imagination. And by the time I'm finished with the painting, I feel like I've learned something from it, or it's telling me what's going on in my world. And I'm like, oh yeah, I made this because ...
Yeah.
So when people interpret the work, in ways that I had no intention of having it interpreted, I'm always intrigued by that. I like those discussions. So if they could just spend some time with it and think about it and think about the nature of it, that's really all I could ever ask for.
You've created multimodal exhibits and installations in several states. You've illustrated children's books, created animation for learning Ojibwe language. You work with school kids creating murals, and you're collaborating quite frequently with other artists. How did your life as a professional artist take shape?
I think it was around third grade, I got an assignment that I was supposed to draw a happy face and a sad face. I had no idea how to proceed or how to visualize that in my head. And I was sitting at the kitchen table that night with my homework, and my mom came over to ask me if I needed any help. And I told her what I was working on, and she sat down and made two circles. And in one, she drew pretty much what looks like the happy face emoji. And it was just two dots and a smile. And then on the other one, she drew two dots and a frown. And in my little third grade mind, this was the most brilliant work of art that I had ever seen. And at that moment, I knew that I wanted to grow up to be an amazing artist, a genius, just like my mom in the arts. And ever since then, I've drawn on everything that was put in front of me: homework, assignments, notepads, binders, backs of books, stuff like that. Around age 11, I got into creating my own little comic books. It would be sometimes 10 to 12 pages long. And all throughout high school, I was interested in poetry and painting, and worked on a mural project, try to get creative with the art assignments that we were given and challenge myself to sort of take them outside the box. So in the 11th and 12th grade, a counselor was speaking to me about going to fine art school, and gave me a pamphlet to the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I worked for a couple of years in a desk job, and I decided that the arts was my calling. So I went to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I studied fine art, and I lived there for about 3 years. And moved back to the Twin Cities, where I took another arts program in digital media, studying motion graphics and visual effects. So that's kind of where I got my animation skills from. And that was a bachelor's degree. And then from there, I moved on to working as a fine artist with my paintings and doing design work on the side while working as an animation specialist in a video house in downtown Minneapolis.
That is Jonathan Thunder. He is a Northern Minnesota native artist who creates many things, from films to paintings to children's books. And it was something he decided to do at the age of 8.
You must feel pretty lucky that you made a decision at 8 and it's panning out.
Yeah. I remember talking to somebody teaching an art class, and they were talking about, they used the word scotoma, and they were saying that it's like these little roadways, these little pathways that you make in your life, where if you set a focus, if you say, this is what I want for myself, your mind will create a little spotlight and kind of like point out all the opportunities in front of you that can lead to that. And I sort of feel like ever since then, it's been just a series of those for me. So it's really been kind of the only choice that I've ever focused on.
Who were some of the people that influenced you?
When I was studying painting in Santa Fe, my instructor, Norman Akers, who had a huge influence on me, he's an Osage fella from Oklahoma. He said, you know, your work reminds me of somebody, and he brought out this book of Jim Denemy's early work and was kind of thumbing through the pages with me, and I thought it was amazing because it was sort of like broke outside of the romantic native artwork imagery, and it was edgy and moody and pushy. And I was just like, yeah, this work is, you know, is really liberating for me, in the sense that it kind of breaks some of the expectations. I've also called Jim a couple times to ask him questions about kind of the business side of artists. He's got some good advice. I think temperament-wise, him and I are about the same. So I really like his input, and his career is something that, you know, I really kind of like to reference when I'm trying to think about my decisions. Other artists have come along in my life too, like Gordon Koons has really helped me. He sort of helped me shape how I explore the gallery scene and how I think about myself and, you know, in that setting, and how I like to sort of work myself in there dynamically rather than my artwork as sort of stopping at the easel, but thinking about it as something that begins at the easel and finds its way into these spaces. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of people that have helped me throughout the years. I could name one other person that has been a great mentor to me. Writer Hyde Erdrich has worked with me many, many times on many collaborations, and it has included me in exhibits, theater work. We've worked on multiple video projects together, and her wisdom about inclusion of other artists has just like really helped me sort of shape my idea about the art community in general, and really helped open my eyes to a lot of new things. The art business and the art world and the journey of an artist is really created by community, because without community, you're basically just a person in a room making art. But when you introduce community and partnership and peers and allies into the mix, you know, you have a network that you can really band together and like reach other audiences and help others to do the same thing.
What projects are you working on right now?
I'll be focusing on a few video exhibits this year. I have been also working a little bit in the illustration. I'm sort of a fan of all the art, so when these projects come along, I just sort of I see if I'm able to wrap my brain around them, and if I am in a fun and healthy way, then I'm open to taking it on and seeing how my artwork works with it. So this month, the book Bow Wow Powwow was released, where I created 32 illustrations for the Minnesota Historical Society Press with writer Brenda Child, who's also a Red Laker. Later on, I'll be working with the Tweed Museum in Duluth, Minnesota, to create a 200-foot installation piece that will consist of animated digital paintings that sort of speak a little bit on the storytelling side. A lot of my work is about vignettes, just sort of moments in a character setting, and this 200-foot installation will be a series of those that kind of wraps around this this glass case called the Nelson Collection that was donated to the Tweed, and I'll be working with projection systems to sort of turn it into, I don't know how else to describe it. It's just kind of like this giant aquarium of moving artwork. And I've definitely never worked on a project like it, and I haven't seen one like it. So it's just kind of, even the creation of it is sort of like a process of building and making decisions and finding out if that's the right one. Obviously, with a lot of research, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a challenge, and I'm really excited to see that come to fruition.
That is Jonathan Thunder. He is a painter and digital media artist who currently lives in Duluth. He was born in Red Lake, and he's been featured in many state, regional, and national exhibitions, as well as local and international publications. You can find him online at mnartists.org/JonathanRThunder or go to thunderfineart.com. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.